This is The Night Shift on Triple M. Adam Shan sitting in for Luke Boner, one night only. Are there people out there who access adult services? Interesting story in the Herald Sun yesterday, talking about the fact that there are hundreds of sex workers operating illegally out of high-rise apartments in Melbourne's CBD. Apparently, these sex workers operating openly in towers in the city, Docklands and South Bank, and there are apparently 899 women offering sexual services in the CBD. This is all illegal sex workers. We have what's called a legal sex industry in Australia and in Victoria, but seemingly people are going for the illegal version again, seemingly ignoring the dangers, both for the worker and also the client. Now, Jamie is the manager of a legal brothel in Melbourne, and she's going to tell us what's exactly going on. Good morning, Jamie.
How are you going?
Very well, thank you. Tell me, were you aware of this?
Of course. It's been going on for a while. Obviously, over COVID, it became more of a thing. People seeking services, obviously, with the legalised brothels were closed. But yeah, of course, it's a thing that's been going on for a long time, more so now than ever.
Right. Because all the legal brothels are open again, have been open for quite a while now. But it seems people are still going to the illegal ones. And obviously there are big issues with going to illegal services because you don't know what you're getting, either as the client or as the sex worker themselves. I mean, why are they still going there?
I'm dead against that. Obviously, I work in a legal brothel. I'm dead against it. I don't understand it. I can't fathom it. But in terms of people still going there, I don't know. There might be certain girls that they've been seeing for a while. Who knows? I don't know. I can't answer or speak to them.
But you can get everything that you can in a legal brothel in the illegal ones or more? Or what's the difference, do you know?
To be honest with you, no, I don't know. But, I mean, coming out of COVID, we lost a lot of girls, and I'm tipping that a lot of them were doing private work. Obviously, they're making a lot more money. They get the brothels cut, so to speak. But, I mean, brothels exist for the, you know, for the safety of the girls and the clients. And so they take that risk by doing that. So, look.
Leroy's just asking me here, how much does it actually cost in a legal brothel? What are the sort of rates?
Look, we're rather on the pricey side compared to other places. I tell my clients you get what you pay for. So we are on the pricier side. We do have nicer ladies at the establishment that I'm at. But we charge $190 for 30 minutes, $235 for 45 or $295 the hour. That is full service. And then the girls charge extras for other things.
I think they'd need danger money for Leroy, seriously, at a full Hazcam suit, but that's another story.
Off the dip into my savings.
Yeah, that's right. But, I mean, it is dangerous, I mean, to go into these places, into a high rise. I mean, back in the day, I mean, basically you're getting the underworld involved back in the sex industry.
100%. And the thing is, and this is what I try and drum into my girls, especially when it comes to escorting and things like that. I mean, at the end of the day, the client's coming to us. They're in our domain. We control everything. And that's, you know, it's their safety. In terms of clients going to see girls in apartments, I mean, I don't know what the girls are using for protection there. The whole aspect of it, it's not safe. And there's a reason why this industry is so regulated. And it's set up with the intent of protection on both ends, you know?
Right, and you don't hear of many dramas in the legal industry, at least in Melbourne, maybe other places that listeners can tell us about where there are issues in the legal establishments, but I think it works very well here. But, I mean, you get back into the old days where you've got pimps hanging around, you've got other people, and the girls there in an apartment on their own, if something goes wrong, they're minutes away from any kind of, or even longer, from any kind of relief.
Well, that's the thing. And I mean, you know, as you said, I mean, it's not legal. Like, you know what I mean? So in terms of getting police and stuff involved, I mean, that's not something, I mean, yeah, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, it really doesn't. And tell me, how is business? I mean, I think during COVID, people must have been, well, they've gone to the illegal places. I mean, I believe it's sort of booming. Is that right?
Look, when we came back, we were flat out busy. I'll never forget the night we reopened, which was on the 23rd of November. We opened at midnight and we had clients coming in the front and back door. I had girls on that were booking after booking. We were flat stick busy. And that lasted for a good month. Then obviously coming into Christmas, New Year's, it's always a quiet period in the industry. At the moment, it's sort of, we've hit a bit of a lull at the moment.
Yeah. And tell me, how has COVID affected things that happen in the brothel? Do they have to sanitize more, put masks on in addition to all the other bits and pieces?
Oh, look, cleanliness is a thing that happens anyway. Like, we're obviously, bleach is always used between bookings and all that sort of stuff. Everything's very clean. We make sure of that here. In terms of, we do have hand sanitizer, all that sort of stuff.
For hands,
Well, yeah. But yeah, like,
it's multi-purpose. Yeah.
We don't, obviously, coming when we first come out of COVID and stuff, masks were a thing inside. But yeah, that's, we get clients to sign in, we take temperature checks, things like that. Yeah, it's pretty much it.
Right, so it's pretty safe. I mean, in addition to obviously safe sex being the order of the day these days, you can't go into a legal brothel and say, "I'm sorry, I'm not going to use a condom."
Definitely not. No, it's against the law.
Whereas in these illegal operations, anything goes.
Basically, and I can only speculate with that. But I'm shipping that some. There's definitely girls out there that would be doing that. Yes.
Yeah. I'm talking to Jamie. Yeah. She's the manager of a Melbourne brothel, and we're talking about the proliferation of illegal operations that are happening at the moment that started off during COVID but seem to be still persisting up to 1,000 around Melbourne and probably in your city as well. If you know one, give us a call on 133 53. So what happens? Will the police crack down on this? Or, I mean, it seems like there's a lot for police to do these days post-COVID. Is there any move to kind of straighten this industry up again?
Look, there is a little police unit that does govern this industry and has for a while, and they do go around checking brothels. They pull the girls aside, make sure they're not being trafficked, that type of thing. Check licenses and all that thing. Like I said, this is a very regulated industry. You know what I mean? So there is that. In terms of fighting, like, it's just fighting a losing battle, really, when it comes to illegal services. You've got the illegal rub and tugs, all that sort of thing. You've got the, it's just the, I dare say it's fighting a losing battle, to be honest.
Yeah, and I guess but you get what you pay for, and it's caveat emptor, because anything can happen, and it does. But also in terms of the industry itself, you're a worker. I mean, it's let's strip the glamour away here and the whatever else. And you're a worker.
Yep.
And during COVID, most industries got JobKeeper and the Job Seeker and things like that. How were the workers, including yourself, treated by Centrelink and so forth?
Yeah, so that's something. Okay, this is something that I would love brought to the attention of everyone, because the sex industry, as governed as it is, as regulated as it is, as many, like, you know, I've got to have a license to work in this industry. My boss pays ridiculous amounts of money every year to have his license. Anyone that runs the premises does. Believe it or not, Centrelink, this is an industry that Centrelink refused to acknowledge. So in terms of trying to get things like Job Seeker or JobKeeper or anything like that, it's just a big no-no. They don't acknowledge it. Which is, you know, considering it's a government body and, you know, it's so governed by the government, that's just something that just blew my mind.
And let me get this right. You pay tax.
Correct.
And yet they don't recognise you.
Not at all.
It's a proper industry.
So even coming out of the COVID, obviously, with hours and stuff, I run my money through an ABN, and I was declaring all my money, and I was told to find other work because this doesn't count as a job. It's not recognised by Centrelink.
Really? And
yeah.
And do they explain why? They say, oh, you're the sex industry.
It's just something that's always been, even like years ago, when I was coming into this industry, Adam, you know, going through job network agencies and that type of thing, they normally help people with, you know, trying to look for work and paying for licenses and courses in terms of getting employment, gaining employment. And when I mentioned this, it was just a big no-no. It wasn't going to happen. So it's still in this day and age an industry that is still frowned upon.
Yeah, you. I guess that's probably one reason why people end up in the illegal operations because of this sort of double standard.
100%. 100%. Yep.
I have to leave it there, Jamie. Thank you for your time as always. Interesting inside look at the sex industry post-COVID.